good about herself, and had no job, had no medical education, and I wanted to get her out of here.
And he moved out because we were taking him, taking his leg. He said so.
Yeah.
That's the only reason for that.
Shit, man. He'd have been with us today. He'd have been with us today.
Feeling depressed and sorry for myself, shall I say. And I called them and said that, the meeting was coming up, the Wednesday night meeting. I was afraid that I was going to be boxed. And I'll call them, collect. No one will know that I called them. So I did call and collect, and I got to talking to them and everything. And Cindy said, why don't you move out there? And then I found out that Jack was in the background. And then I said to, we discussed something. And then I hung up, and then I called back again. The second call, he picked up the phone. And I said, I want you to tape this. He said, well, wait a minute, I'll get all my stuff here. And he said, damn, this thing won't work. This tape recorder, it's all bunged up. He says, can't you see here, to me, on the other end, how many miles away from Ventura to San Francisco, can't you see that this tape is all hanging out here?
Did he accept a call or did
Yeah,
he
did. They first said Louis Ponce, and then I said, no, it's Louis, and then, and then he said, I want you to tape this. And then he said, well, he said, Louis, I'll tell you what you do. He said, you start your taping, say that you don't, that you fear bodily harm. And then you say it's a telephone call on the 17th of March. And then you send it down here, and it ended up saying this is a telephone call. And say, oh, what you want, and then send it down here. We'll keep it, safe in case something happens,
And he said to you that he had papers?
He had written papers.
And he had a tape recording of mine?
Yeah, that he had duplicates of the other tapes that you took.
And of course, that was a tape that he took without my permission, because I didn't give him no permission to tape in the first place. He knows that.
Yeah.
But,
Written material. That was written material, I guess.
Yes, well, I'm not worried about that, because he hasn't got any written material unless he's made up something. But I've never written him anything in my life. He said to keep it with your stuff, he wanted to keep your stuff with his stuff in case anything happened. Now, what did he mean by that?
I don't know. I don't know what he meant. Just for protection, that's all. In case anything would befall him or anything, then he would use it, Well, Cindy said he had a good insurance job. His insurance said they were never so happy that she didn't have to look behind her all the time, and that she was afraid that she might say something wrong, and all the things she went on saying.
In the same breath, she still said he said something, and she said that she believed in what we were doing or what they were doing.
She said, but of course we know he's a good man, and that he does good things, and we'll always tell everybody that he's a good man, but we just, to protect ourselves, we have these tapes. And when Jack came down, they gave them the other tapes, but he'd already made a duplicate, so I
believe that.
Yeah. Material to
Jack thought he got the only one, but I knew the first thing he'd do would be tape a copy.
Yeah.
Illegally, but he did it.
Yeah.
And he made a copy of that tape. That boy has seen people leave this church. Go ahead and take it, I don't care. They've seen people leave this church. And never once has he ever seen me do a thing to any of them.
Yeah.
Now, why is he acting like this? He asked us for money to give him help to move. We did that. I don't know exactly what it was, but we bought some of his tools. No, he needed money for tools to get started. He said he was in a mechanic. He was going to go do mechanic work. Now he isn't even doing that. So we gave him some money for that.
I always felt like he was more...
Say things that people were saying about you. And out of anger, I said things that were not true in case and sent them to my son-in-law. But that's what we're going to have to worry about. Send them to your daughter-in-law. And I'm worried that someday my son-in-law might choose to use these things that I said that were not true out of anger, because, out of fear, out of anger, and out of fear, because I believe Vivian's lies. Should you put fear or not?
I'd say anger.
You know, go back and ask him. That way, Vivian, you don't have to say anything. Say, I made a tape of some things that were not true. Said things that were not true on a team. That way you don't involve them. If you feel better not about involving them. We'll see if anybody's hesitant to do that. If somebody's hesitant to do that, and the person's hesitant to do that, you know, there's somebody. Say, I've sent a tape to some. That's better.
The tape I sent to Jack Arnold and Cindy was only a hoax. It was a way of my testing to see if my son-in-law, Jack Arnold Beam, and Cindy Beam were still feeling that they should stay away from the teachings of Jim Jones, because I have always revered them and stood for them. And so I sent a tape which looked like I was leaving and that I did not still believe in his teachings. And I said a lot of things on there that were untrue, just to get to see how they would react to that, to it. And so I want everyone that, if anyone should hear that tape, which I made on the 17th of March, 1976, that was only a hoax, and that none of the what was said on there is true.